Giant Land.
Oh, I like this land. It's book pick day, and I know it seems like Monday, but it's really Tuesday, so it's book pick day, and you know, if you haven't had time over your holiday weekend to find that perfect book, well, that's why we have this segment, so we can get wonderful booksellers, wonderful, wonderful independent bookstores to tell us what a good book is that we can grab and read and enjoy, and maybe, even in the process, learn something. When it comes to that, the best in the business is Joan Grenier. She is the owner of Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts, a dear friend, and we love when she's on the program. She joins us via telephone this morning. Joan, how are you?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
I am fine. It is so nice to speak to you and to hear your voice, and I hope all is well in South Hadley.
It is. It is. You know, we have a lot of snow like everybody else, but not as much as Boston.
Right. That's all the comfort we could take. We didn't get slammed like Boston. So where would you like to begin, my friend?
I would like to begin with Eric Larson.
Oh, we love him.
We do. His new book is Deadweight, The Last Crossing of the Lusitania. And many people will know Eric Larson from previous best-selling nonfiction books, including Isaac Storm, Thunderstruck, Devil in the White City, and his most recent, before Deadweight, is In the Garden of the Beast. So this is about the Lusitania, which 100 years ago was sunk off the coast of Ireland. So when I started reading Deadweight, I was, of course, aware that the Lusitania, I knew the fate of the Lusitania. However, the power of Eric Larson's writing, along with the depth of his research, put you right back in 1915. He has the ability to tell a very suspenseful tale. You not only become familiar with the Lusitania's crew and passengers, but also the U-boat's captains, the British Admiralty's war room, and President Woodrow Wilson, who's struggling with loneliness and depression after his wife's death, and he's trying to keep the U.S. out of war. The Lusitania itself is a character in this book, and he just gives you such wonderful detail that, you know, you really can see this ship. So I just want to tell you a little bit about it. Before it set sail on May 1st, 1915, It had made 201 Atlantic crossings. It was really the crown jewel in the Cunard Steamship Company of Liverpool, England. It was fast. It was comfortable. The ship was booked to capacity with nearly 2,000 people. According to the New York Times, this was the greatest number of Europe-bound travelers on a single vessel during the year. Now, you have to remember that Europe is already engaged in war. To give you an idea of the complexity of this ship, here's some information that Eric Larson details in his book. 5,690 tons of coal were shoveled into the side pockets of the hull. It burnt coal all the time. There were 300 stokers, trimmers, and firemen working 100 per shift. It took 1,000 tons of coal a day, being shoveled into 192 furnaces to heat its 25 boilers and generate steam to spin the immense turbines. Coal dust was everywhere, and ship stewards were constantly wiping down surfaces. And in certain concentrations, coal dust could be highly explosive. So crew members were not permitted to bring matches, and instead safety matches were issued. There are 3,000 lamps on board, and this is the early days, so light bulbs are failing at an alarming rate. You also learn about passengers, and there's many that he discusses, but I was particularly drawn to Charles Laureate, who's the president of one of the country's best-known bookstores, Laureate's in Boston.
Right.
He was famous among book collectors, and brought with him two scrapbooks that contained original drawings by William Thackeray, the author of Vanity Fair. He would survive the Lusitania, but the precious Thackeray artwork would not.
Mm-hmm.
He'd also write a book, The Lusitania's Last Voyage. And he would spend months in London collecting books to bring back to America to sell. We also follow the U-boat that would eventually torpedo the Lusitania. And this is almost like a big tube in water. It's very, very primitive compared to what we know about submarines today. And in the end, though, there would be a confluence of miscommunication, fog, and really just dumb luck, if you can call it that, that a single torpedo would destroy the Lusitania in 18 minutes. And this is also we learn about Room 40 in the British naval operations. They knew where some of these submarines were. They had decoded the German naval messages, but they didn't want Germany to know. So they gave some information, but really not enough. So in the end, of the nearly 2,000 crew and passengers, only 764 survived. He also details the rescue efforts. There's a lot about the captain in the boat, who was initially, you know, thought to be negligent, but proved later that he was doing a good job with the information he had. So we're really thrilled to be hosting Eric Larson on March 11th at 7 o'clock. Yep. And this is co-sponsored with the Mount Holyoke College History Department. And this is a ticketed event, so you can check out our website or give us a call.
It's odysseybks.com, and we'll give that information at the end of the segment as well. But the
have you read it, Joe?
I have. It's amazing. Yeah, we're
it
doing.
Is, isn't it?
We're doing an event in Syracuse.
Yeah, I know.
Or Manchester, I guess, Manchester, Vermont, and I'm looking forward to that. So that'll be fun. Dead Wake: Last Crossing of the Lusitania by Eric Larson. It is an amazing book, and as you indicated, there's so many facets there and so many interesting stories, and it is a page turner. It really, really neat stuff. Okay, next up on the list, another one of my favorites, I think.
This changes everything.
Yes.
Naomi Klein.
Oh, I
okay,
love it.
So I'm a real crusader for this book. It's been out a while, but everybody needs to read it, so I'm still talking about it.
Good.
She details climate change and the devastating harm to the planet by the powerful extractive industries. She combines history, science, economics, and policy analysis with clear and far-ranging examples of grassroots resistance. There are numerous examples of the disastrous impacts of the neoliberal economics on people and planet. Several countries are much further ahead of us in terms of producing more energy from alternative sources, and their progress is described in this book. And given the recent weather events in New England and across the world, really, it's a very, very timely book. It also details the relationship between globalization and climate change, especially free trade agreements. And I was really devastated to learn the details in the WTO rules that challenge green energy programs because they support local solar companies or local jobs. And that's considered protectionist. So trade trumps climate. And the last thing I want to say is when you look at ExxonMobil, they have recorded the highest corporate profits ever in 2012, $45 billion in profit. We're not talking revenues now.
Right.
We're talking profit. So I hope everybody reads this. My husband John and I had started an Active Citizen book group last year. And we actually spent 2 months on this book because there's just so much in there.
Well, I love this book, and she's such a great spokesperson for this cause. And it's This Changes Everything by Naomi Klein. Next up
is an author who is finally coming to the Odyssey tonight. She was snowed out in January, which has become kind of a common thing recently.
Absolutely.
Her name is S.M. Hulse, H-U-L-S-E, and her name is Sarah. Her book is Black River. It's her debut novel, and it is our first edition selection for January. Have you read this one, Joe?
I have not.
Okay. Well, it's set in Montana, and the main character is Wes Carver. He's 60 years old. He grew up in Black River, but he left 20 years ago. After a prison riot where he was a correction officer and he was taken hostage. And you learn throughout the book as it unfolds what happened to him. But he went through hours and hours of hell. And He's returning with the ashes of his wife, Claire, who has died from leukemia. And he also has a letter from the prison if he wants to speak about the inmate who now is up, who held him hostage but is now up for parole. So Black River is also a character in this book, and a lot of people are comparing her to Kent Harris, who, of course, died last year and would be old enough to be her grandfather. She's only 30. And I think we're going to be hearing a lot about this author. Wes Carver was a talented musician, a fiddler, before the riot. And I really think the book should have a CD because she writes a lot about music. She is a fiddler. And it's just a beautifully written novel about place and music. It's a little quiet compared to another novel I'm going to talk about. But the language is just so beautiful, and it's a very interior novel, too. I mean, Wes has to, you know, really figure out what he's going to do about this parole hearing. He also is coming back to see his stepson, who he hasn't really seen in 20 years because they had an armed confrontation. And it's just a lovely book.
It is Black River, a novel by S.M. Hulse. That's H-U-L-S-E. And the event is when, Joan?
Tonight at 7.
Tonight at 7 o'clock. And again, you can find out more information at odysseybks.com. Now, we have about 5 minutes and about 5 books, so we'll work our way through.
We'll go quickly now. The next one is Jaguar's Children by John Ballant. He's originally from Cambridge, Mass., but he's now living in British Columbia. He joined us a few weeks ago, so we do have signed copies. And I'll just tell you a little bit about the premise of this book. There's 15 people, 11 men and 4 women, in Mexico, and they are trying to get out due to poverty and sometimes politics or both. And they are, a human smuggler has put them inside of a water truck and sealed it. Mm. And then 4 hours, they're supposed to be in Arizona. Well, it breaks down, and you learn a lot about Cesar and Hector, two friends that are inside the truck, and where they come from, which is Oaxaca, and I'm going to hurry on to the next one.
But all right, really Jaguar's Children.
Gripping story about the dangers faced by those who are forced to leave their homeland. Jam on the Vine is by LaShonda Catrice Barnett, and she was just with us a few days ago. She's being compared to Toni Morrison and Alice Walker. This covers the years 1897 to 1925. Starts off in Central East Texas, where she's the daughter of a Muslim cook and a metalsmith. And this is, you know, of course, after her parents are emancipated slaves, but Jim Crow is starting to raise its ugly head. She has a lifelong passion for reading and for newspapers. She does earn a scholarship to a college in Austin, but it takes her several decades to really become a journalist because there's just no job she can get. She eventually starts a newspaper and covers a lot of the lynching and also the prison incarceration. She moves to Kansas City, Missouri, and Jam on the Vine is a reference to her mother's tomato jam, which was highly sought after by whites and African Americans and helped support the family. It does have a great ending, and this was just a great work of fiction. I think you're going to be hearing a lot more from her.
Jam on the Vine by LaShonda Catrice Barnett. And next up is actually one of the co-authors of this book, Eric Kingson, will be on our program tomorrow talking about this. So I'll let you do your take.
Well, the title almost says it all. Social Security Works. Why Social Security Isn't Going Broke and How Expanding It Will Help Us All. Our Active Citizen Group will be discussing this book on Sunday at 4 p.m., and everybody's welcome. But these two people have worked on this issue for decades, and There's just a lot of detail in there that I think this is going to be a big fight. And since you're having Eric, he's going to be able to discuss it a lot better than I.
Well, and now you know, so now it comes in endorsed by you. So it sets it up perfectly and lets us tease our interview tomorrow. Social Security Works by Nancy Altman and Eric Kingston. Eric will be on the program tomorrow. And then finally, I believe.
Yes, just to mention, I haven't read this book yet, but I will.
Oh, it's great.
Kristen Eppe, American Reckoning, The Vietnam War and Our National Identity. And he'll be joining us next week, Tuesday, February 24th at 7 p.m. He's a professor of history at UMass Amherst, and he really looks into a lot of aspects of how the Vietnam War affected us and our national identity.
We had him on last week, I guess, talking about your event and coming up.
Good.
And it's a fascinating book. It really is. It's so well done and really interesting about how not only that national identity, but how that identity changes. And there's really mm-hmm. nothing set in that identity. So I think you'll really enjoy it. American Reckoning, the Vietnam War, and Our National Identity. And that event, again, Joan, is
next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Tonight is Black River, a novel by S.M. Hulse, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then Dead Wake, Last Crossing of the Lusitania by Eric Larson is on
March 11th.
March 11th. You've got a lot going on and so much more than just that. But you can find out more by going to odysseybks.com, odysseybks.com, or for goodness sakes, visit them. They're lonely. They need you. 9 College Street in South Hadley, Massachusetts, and a more beautiful bookstore you will not find. Odyssey Bookstore in South Hadley, 9 College Street in South Hadley, odysseybks.com. Joan, we love you. Thank you so much for being with us, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joan. Take care.